I want to warn you, some of the following pictures will be graphic, but I want you to take a look at these domestic terrorists. This is Timothy McVeigh, 1995. He parked a truck filled with nearly 5,000 pounds of explosives outside of a federal building in Oklahoma City. He parked it right under a daycare. 168 people were killed, including this one-year-old. Saeek Farouk and Tashfeen Malik. In 2015, this married couple opened fire at a San Bernardino County training event and holiday party. 14 innocent people were murdered, including this 37-year-old dad of six. Robert Bowers, last year in an act of anti-Semitism, this murderer stormed Pittsburgh's Tree of Life synagogue and killed 11 Jews who were gathering for Sabbath worship. His victims include Sylvan and Bernice Simon, who were married 62 years in the very same chapel where they were gunned down. Russell Vogt, in 2021, he established an organization called the Center for Renewing America to help, quote, restore American consensus of a nation under God. No, he didn't go on to kill anybody or anything. That's the crime. At least according to this administration. That's why the left believes this conservative or any other Christian conservative is one or two steps away from sitting alongside domestic terrorist monsters that I've just described. And all of it begins with their newest label, Christian Nationalist. We have a lot on our plate, including the arrest of one of our own reporters. Next. First, if you have been following the news today, our very own Steve Baker, an investigative reporter, has been arrested. We don't think it's a coincidence that our reporter was arrested. He was arrested by the FBI this morning. He turned himself in. He was told to show up in T-shirt and flip-flops so it would be easier for them to put the orange jumpsuit on him and chain him here, chained down to his feet. Steve didn't comply. He did turn himself in peacefully, but he wore a suit. They allowed him to keep his shirt and his pants on, and then they chained his hands and his ankles to go in front of a court and face four misdemeanor charges. Those four charges are bullcrap. He is charged with acting recklessly in the Capitol, etc. Blaze.com has all of the video for you to go over this weekend. It's really boring, but thanks to our Speaker of the House, we have all of the information and video to show him doing nothing but recording and writing a report on what he is seeing. This is a grotesque violation of the First Amendment, and it will not be the last unless Congress acts and unless the people of America on both sides stand for the First Amendment. I have stood with every journalist there is. I stood with Bill Maher when ABC fired him for saying something politically incorrect when the show that he was on was called Politically Incorrect. I've stood for everyone on the left, even those I strongly disagree with, because we have something called the First Amendment. And the First Amendment is all we got, gang. It's the first for a reason. You must be able to speak your mind. You must be able to own your own thoughts. You must have a press that questions the government without fear of reprisal. And if you lose the first, you have to use the second. You see why those two are number one and number two? God forbid we ever get to the second. May God Almighty please protect our nation. But if you have ever watched me at any time and thought, that guy's crazy, he's predicting mayhem. There are two journalists now, Catherine Herridge who was at Fox when I was at Fox. She's worked at CBS. She's worked at all of the big news. She's an old school journalist. Her beat was the Pentagon. CBS threw her out like trash on the street. And then the government went after her because she reported on the Chinese infiltrating our colleges. And the government wants to know who her source, who ratted that scheme out. Our government wants to know who the rat is. Thank God she is still a journalist and a brave one at that. She's facing jail time now, as is our own. That's two journalists. You might want to open up a notebook because they're not going to be the only ones if this doesn't stop. And it seems like every single week that goes by, our country crosses another crazy mile marker. Last week was a big one. This week is too. Did you see this article last week from Politico? Trump allies prepare to infuse Christian nationalism in second administration. Now, this kicked off a flurry of media attention that lasted well over 72 hours. Most people probably don't even know what Christian nationalism actually is. But all of last week, the media devoted the vast amount of their airtime trying to convince the country that this was our greatest threat. This is from The Hill. America is facing a threat of biblical proportion, the rise of Christian nationalism. I'm going to come back to that Politico piece later on in the show. But the people currently smeared as Christian nationalists are not Christian nationalists. There is a thing called Christian nationalism. We'll talk about it. Christian nationalists are anti-constitution. They want a pseudo-statist theocracy. They maybe represent maybe 0.0005% of all Christians, okay? They are the people that I've been warning you about, like Alexander Dugin of Russia. They are not members of the Heritage Foundation. They are not MAGA Republicans. Christian nationalists, MAGA Republicans, science deniers, election deniers. Boy, we're rounding up the criminals, aren't we? Have you noticed an increase in the amounts of labels the Biden regime has been throwing around lately? Do you remember this speech?
But as I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault.
Wow.
We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. So tonight, I've come to this place where it all began to speak as plainly as I can to the nation about the threats we face, about the power we have in our own hands to meet these threats. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Okay. Have you ever seen the president do a speech like that with the red background and the Marines used as props? I mean, Donald Trump is a showman. I've never seen that behind Donald Trump. And you know, didn't come up with that. Who did? What's that speech all about? Equality and democracy are under assault. These are the threats that we face, but, and this is part is key, this is the power we have to face those threats. And where do we direct that power? Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. This is the weaponization of the federal government and, quite honestly, the minds of a lot of people in America that come all under the banner of Democrat or Joe Biden. Now imagine what they can do under the banner of threats to the Republican democracy. When something is labeled a threat to the country, that's when the national security apparatus can be turned on the American people. We talked about this after the Patriot Act was passed. I said, warning, if we pass this, all somebody has to do is redefine what a terrorist is. We all know that terrorists now are a threat from overseas. But what happens if politics change? Well, here we are. I recently saw Tucker Carlson's interview with Michael Benz. It was a fascinating reminder that the government has a history of invoking national security to do whatever the heck it wants. The road our government has traveled is insane. At the dawn of the Cold War, a U.S. diplomat named George Kennan wrote this. It's a memo to the intelligence community. It was called the Inauguration of Organized Political Warfare. I encourage you to read this memo in its entirety, especially point 7. In it, he talks in detail about how the CIA should start playing dirty, even goes so far as to suggest undermining elections in other foreign countries. We know that. It doesn't really sound like the kinds of things the leaders of free and democratic world would engage in, but they've been doing it forever. A CIA operative disclosed in a 1995 interview how they directly interfered in 1948 in Italy's election. This work continued in Italy for 2 decades. It cost Americans $5 million a year. But communism was a national security threat. Playing dirty was required, right? Democracy was at stake, right? All apparently, it was deemed so much of a threat that the government could now start playing dirty with American citizens. The national security apparatus now has been turned inward, looking at you. They started a long time ago. FBI labeled MLK a communist threat, greenlit wiretap surveillance. It eventually culminated in using those recordings to try to blackmail MLK. They even sent him a letter that sounded awfully like they were suggesting he kills himself. But remember, the official playbook for national security establishment was now dirty tricks. Everything's a fair game. And all it took to direct what used to be used only in foreign countries, now turned on American citizens, was a label. Today, the Biden regime, the deep state, have a big problem. They're losing now to Donald Trump. They are losing public opinion. People are catching on to all the dirty tricks. So what do? Well, pull out the labels. Trump supporters are MAGA Republicans, and they tie a clear and present danger to the country from them, and then Christian nationalists as the main threat to democracy. Let me go back to that political piece. Alexander Ward is one of the main writers. You notice what he writes about for Politico? He's a national security writer. That's interesting. I mean, I'm sure this isn't being pushed as a national security threat by national security writers as any kind of nefarious threat or anything. I'm sure the Biden administration doesn't have a hand in this. You know, even though on the exact same day the political story was released, the Biden campaign issued an immediate response likening a second term as straight out of The Handmaid's Tale. But I'm sure the Biden regime didn't know the political story on this new national security threat of Christian nationalism was coming out. I mean, they were just ready on the ball and quick with an immediate statement. Politico centered around a man named Russell Vogt. He served in the Trump administration. Vogt is now advising with the Heritage Foundation on something called Project 2025. Project 2025, as I understand it, is something that we've been saying to each other, the Democrats do this all the time. When will we get our act together? Well, they have. Project 2025 is a conservative action plan for the next president to hit the ground running for conservative governance. So in other words, what's the plan? You got to start on day one. This is a transition plan, and it's amazing. It would completely derail how Biden is pushing us towards a full-on centrally planned administrative state. And this is why they're so worried. This is why it's suddenly a national security threat to stop the Heritage Foundation. Back in November, the Washington Post mentioned Russell Vogt and Project 2025, calling it a dangerous and unconstitutional thing. Oof. And if you're curious, one of the writers of that article was Devlin Barrett. Any guess what his beat is? Yeah, national security. Now, we haven't had any kind of leaks that have been obviously wrong about our national security from our national security advisors, have we? These Christian nationalists around Trump are a threat to democracy, says former national security czar. We've got to do something. Politico apparently receives documents proving how this Christian nationalist threat is a national security risk. That's interesting because Politico didn't show the actual documents. That's weird. It's almost like they had an anonymous tip from someplace inside the government. Then there's this little line tucked into the article, almost a throwaway, quote, "The documents obtained by Politico do not outline specific Christian nationalist policies." Well, wait a minute. What are we talking about? Could it be that maybe, and I'm just spitballing here, they themselves don't even know what Christian nationalism is? Could it be they found out something that sounds a little scary and are now labeling anyone close to Trump that is a vocal Christian and is proposing conservative policies as a dangerous Christian nationalist? Could it be that? Here's the document. It's on a U.S. government website. It links Christians with January 6th. Now how? Well, because some of the people there, quote, perceived themselves to be Christians. Oh my gosh. There were signs that said, "Jesus is my Savior and Jesus is my King." In some of the events before January 6th, some attendees prayed. Now, if prayer and signs that say Jesus is my Savior are the measuring stick for this new national security threat, we're in serious trouble here. But Christians shouldn't be at all worried here, though, right? It's not like the FBI has targeted Christians before under Joe Biden. Well, I mean, besides the time the FBI went after Catholics for attending a Latin mass, clearly an isolated incident. It's not like, oh, wait, yeah, the American Center for Law and Justice, after a recent FOIA request, found 1,200 pages of documents from the FBI targeting, quote, radical traditionalist Christians. This is not rocket science. The current government has made it very, very clear that they want to push radical race, gender, sex ideology on everyone, including our children. They believe they are an unstoppable force, but they also believe the only ones that can be stopping them are Christians. That's the immovable object. That is why you are being labeled a Christian nationalist, and it has far-reaching consequences. This is why they are being maneuvered into threats to democracy and national security. That is why the media and government are weaponizing against them. The precedence is clear. What it looks like they're doing to Christians has already been done during COVID and the 2020 election. The government created a label, vaccine deniers, or election deniers, or misinformation, disinformation. And they use that to target American citizens. I'll show you all about it next. Communist sympathizer. Remember what happened after that? Christian nationalist, election denier, misinformation, disinformation. Words have meaning to governments. Labels can be very dangerous if the government is involved. How long before the small percentage of actual Christian nationalists who want to abolish the Constitution and replace it with a Christian doctrine, how long before those Christian nationalists are lumped in with Christian advocates? And then how long then is that all of them are branded domestic extremists akin to terrorists? We've just stepped into the Patriot Act territory. Have you ever read how the Patriot Act defines domestic terrorism? It's written down. I urge you to read it. Written down in Section 802. It can be read in full at congress.gov. From the Patriot Act, domestic terrorism involves, quote, acts dangerous to human life, that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or any state. Okay, I mean, it's broad. Does it get worse than that? Oh, yeah. In a nutshell, this first point can be used to invoke the Patriot Act on anything the regime considers worthy. Acts intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population. Would a protest fall under this definition? Would pro-lifers praying in front of an abortion clinic? Yes. Acts intended to influence the policy of government by intimidation or coercion. Would 500,000 people marching in Washington, D.C. for the March of Life fall under this? Yes. Would BLM and all of that burning cities down? No, apparently. How about the people that showed up for January 6th but didn't enter the Capitol? The answer to all of these questions is, I don't really know, but I think yes, depending on who's in charge. And that's the entire point. When a government decides you are the target, you will be the target. Nothing will ever hold them back. It has never happened in the past. And they have taken steps that could make this new Christian nationalism hunt the worst one yet. I want to make it clear. Actual Christian nationalists are bad. Find out if you hear, oh, I'm a Christian nationalist. Find out what they mean by that. Under the Obama administration, the government created something called the Global Engagement Center. Michael Benz mentioned this in his podcast with Tucker Carlson. The stated purpose was to identify messaging from ISIS. The idea was to create a network of partners that included NGOs, schools, young people, social and civil society, and religious leaders and others. The team leader was someone named Richard Stengel, who wrote a piece in the Washington Post just casually suggesting the First Amendment should be gutted. The Global Engagement Center would later announce that, quote, they were harnessing the power of artificial intelligence to essentially map out all of the areas of disinformation to, quote, to advance its detection capabilities and inoculation, or boosting the U.S. community's media literacy and awareness to combat the threats. Information inoculation. What does that mean? And they're partnering with people like the media to fight those threats. What does that sound like? I played this clip a month or so ago, but here is the head of CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, Jane Easterly. Watch.
The most important critical infrastructure there is our cognitive infrastructure. And so building that resilience is, you know, part of the mission set, in my view.
Cognitive infrastructure. What you think? As in inoculating Americans on the speech they deem dangerous and then changing how people think. So what started as a State Department program to target terrorists is now directed at Americans at the Department of Homeland Security. That's what it looks like. This is a recent report from the Select Subcommittee of the Weaponization of Government. They have found that CISA has been targeting Americans utilizing private partners to censor and shut them up. CISA was founded under the Department of Homeland Security back in 2018 with the specific mission of engaging in cybersecurity and protecting critical infrastructure. Remember, critical infrastructure defined as you, your brain, your thoughts. Critical infrastructure defined here, mass transit, aviation, communications, energy, you know, things like that. But shortly after the 2016 election, Obama's DHS amended critical infrastructure to include election infrastructure. You can kind of guess where this is going. By 2018, the DHS Office of Inspector General found that the CISA was already working with law enforcement and private partners in social media when voting-related disinformation began to appear. What determined what was or wasn't voting disinformation? Well, that's not clear at all. But what is clear is that the Federal Bureau was leading the charge. The approved speech made it through. The rest was censored. In 2021, CISA expanded their operation with a new focus on misinformation and disinformation. CISA was at the head. But they funded three other partner organizations to do the dirty work of colluding with social media companies to censor Americans. They knew this program would be perceived as regime-level propaganda. But having outside partners of CISA, hey, could get around that. It's a private company. The meeting notes were obtained by the Congressional Subcommittee. It shows the leaders designing their private partner, the ISAC, as the clearinghouse for information to avoid the appearance of government propaganda. That's a quote. And how far did this insane campaign against Americans reach? The target was put on, and I quote, social media platforms of all sizes, mainstream media, cable news, hyper-partisan media, talk radio, and other online resources. Have you ever made a post questioning the validity of mass mail-in voting? This internal email shows that mail fraud disinformation was now a target. How many Americans were targeted and surveilled and censored just from this? All in all, Congress found that the CISA, which is an arm of the federal government, quote, expanded its mission to surveil American speech on social media and colluded with big tech and government-funded third parties to censor by proxy and tried to hide its plainly unconstitutional activities from the public, end quote. Welcome to America, I guess. And how much of this was done in the name of protecting the election from Russian influence? Russian colluder, election denier, powerful, powerful labels. And that's all it took to weaponize the federal government against her own people. Well, a new election's coming up soon. Listen to what they're already starting to say.
Not only is there no evidence of any wrongdoing by President Biden, but it now appears as if the House Republican majority is being used by Russia to interfere in the 2024 election on behalf of Donald Trump. If they continue with this investigation, they are simply doing the work of Vladimir Putin to help Donald Trump win an election in November. That's where we are.
And round we go. It never ends. The government just finds a new and creative way to turn their sights on people like you, or like me, or like Steve Baker from The Blaze. This is why the escalation lately of name-calling everyone as a Christian nationalist concerns me. So, does Christian nationalism even exist? Yes, it does. But the vast majority of people that are currently getting that label do not want any kind of United States theocracy. I don't. I don't want my church in charge or your church. They believe in the Constitution. I do. You do. Do they advocate for Christian-centered values? Yes. Yes. I advocate for any values that make people try to be better every day. Yes. But that does not make them a Christian nationalist. Be aware of anyone trying to put a label on you. Do you believe in the Constitution of the United States? That is the barometer. And even the government has abided by that. It is our job to make sure they do. Do not allow yourself to quietly accept or embrace that label. It has consequences in today's world. Back in a minute. Boy, I tell you, we need God. We need the Lord. We need some Jesus in our country. And how do we gain blessings from the Lord? I mean, there's nothing we deserve. But one thing we can do to show to him that we have turned, we are on his side, is to protect his children. Abortion is a widely practiced thing in this country. But now we have to deal with the indoctrination on the part of the left that says abortion is a thing to be celebrated and shouted as proudly. It's one of the worst evils the world has ever seen, and the numbers keep rising. But there are some who are rising along with it to the challenge. The Ministry of Preborn empowers young expectant moms in crisis to choose life. Preborn has rescued hundreds of thousands of babies' lives through an ultrasound. And when a young woman considering abortion visits a preborn center, she gets to hear her baby's heartbeat and meet that precious child on ultrasound. The majority of the time, she'll choose life for her baby. Please help the cause. Preborn has a passion to save unborn babies from abortion and see women come to Christ. Over the past 15 years, preborn centers have counseled over 450,000 women considering an abortion. That's a savings of 200,000 babies. Will you help rescue babies' lives? Donate, hit pound 250, pound 250. Say the keyword baby, pound 250, keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Glenn. Equally disturbing to how the government was surveilling and censoring Americans is that it's only just now that we're discovering what was happening years ago. It took a congressional committee to dig into this stuff, and they're still being stonewalled. Who knows what currently is being done by the government in name of securing the election, fighting misinformation, or saving democracy from Christian nationalism. You know, Congress has asked for the documentations over and over and over again from the White House on what this all-of-government project is, where they are bringing out new voters to vote. The White House has said it's too confusing for Americans, so we're not going to release it. Oh. We need people to come forward and expose what's going on. We need whistleblowers. I have one with me. Joining me now is Steve Friend. He came out as an FBI whistleblower after he witnessed firsthand what was happening in the wake of January 6th. He is also a senior fellow at the Center for Renewing America, an organization that has a strong background in fighting weaponization of government. Steve, thank you so much, as usual, for joining us. God bless you.
Great to be with you.
So I want to start with the news of the day. What has happened to our own reporter, who was arrested today? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I have quite a few. Steve Baker's a friend of mine as well, and I'm just completely taken aback by the fact that the FBI and the weaponized government that we're seeing every day is using all the levers of power to make the process the punishment for someone like Steve Baker, who has had Damocles' sword hanging over his head for the last 3+ years. The FBI now saw fit to use a judicial complaint to bring him into custody, which necessitated his actual arrest. They couldn't actually have him come and surrender via some sort of a summons. They made the process the punishment, and they've contrived a way to bring him into custody and charge him with crimes that he has not committed. The agents, like Craig Noyes, who works in the Raleigh, North Carolina field office, are just good Germans at this point. They are doing the bidding of the political left in order to push this narrative that people like Steve, who are just obeying the Constitution, doing what a journalist does, and then putting them in a cage so that they can make their pension.
Why would they tell him to show up in T-shirts, shorts, and flip-flops? Is that usual, the FBI tells people to do that?
It's not. The fact that they did that, I'm sure, was to sort of make the process easier for them, because they would argue that there's a security concern. They need to take his belt and his shoelaces. But it's to just humiliate Steve, to put him into a cold holding cell and have him sit there in shorts and bare feet so he can just be a little bit uncomfortable, so they can rub his nose in it. This is, again, my complaint that I go back to for the last year and a half. It is not the duty of the FBI to be the judge, jury, and the executioner. It is their duty to follow the process, a fair process. You gather the facts, you present them, and then that person has their day in court. But what we're seeing now is the FBI is intent on making the process the punishment, and they're interested in getting the W, whether or not that's a punishment at court or afterwards with a conviction.
So was this local FBI? Were these Texans that were doing this today, or did they come in from Washington?
Well, Steve was investigated by the Charlotte Field Office, the Raleigh, North Carolina resident agency. But as part of his surrender, he surrendered to the Dallas Field Office because of its proximity to where he works there at the Blaze Studios. So he went to the actual Dallas office. I doubt that his case agent actually came to arrest him. I'm sure it was a local agent and then took him to the magistrate. But still, the signee on the criminal complaint for his arrest is Special Agent Craig Noyes, who works for the FBI Charlotte office, the Raleigh, North Carolina resident agency.
I saw a picture of him earlier today going in the backseat of a car, going to be to turn himself in. And he has a lapel pin, and I recognize it from the flag that is behind you. What does that lapel pin mean? What is that?
That is the emblem that the FBI whistleblowers have developed. It is what we call ourselves. We are called the Suspendables. And it started on a lark. It started as something where we sort of joked around and said that we have an interesting set of skills. Maybe we'll go be mercenaries like the Expendables. But we're all suspended, so we'll be the Suspendables. And then Alan Feuer at the New York Times, the old gray lady, decided to write a hit piece in which he invoked the name the Suspendables as some sort of derogatory term. And we decided to lean into it. And so what your folks need to know, that being a Suspendable is about doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way, and for the right reasons. And for that reason, Steve Baker is a Suspendable, which is why we were proud to hand him that lapel. And we were honored that he wore it today in front of court. And he refused to dress like an unemployed gamer coming from his mom's basement wearing shorts and sandals. He dressed like a man and an upstanding person of honor like he is.
So I would like to ask you for one of those pins just for the museum. And if you would allow me to have a secondary, I'd love to wear it myself in solidarity with all of you.
Happy to. And those all go to support and a fellow FBI whistleblower who's been unpaid for a year and a half. You can go to www.the-suspendables.com.
I want to, after the show, I want to talk to you about coming on the radio tomorrow and or on Monday and talk about him because I think we can help him, you know, with his pay situation. You personally saw the FBI weaponized in the wake of January 6th. We know now DHS and CISA have been weaponized. Let me go back to Christian nationalism. Do you see this the same way that I do, that this is just, these are important labels they're putting on people to classify them for Patriot Act stuff?
I do. And this is something that there was a trial balloon about with the radical traditional Catholic memo that was circulated from the FBI Richmond field office. At that time, they were setting the narrative for white Christian nationalism, and it didn't take. So now they've sort of evolved it and just said Christian nationalism. And what you have to understand is that the FBI and the Homeland Security have put out a strategic intelligence assessment that says that racially motivated violent extremism is connected to religion, to religious motivations. So just having a Christian belief might not necessarily make you a white supremacist, but it makes you primed for that. And the FBI has a categorization for that and will willingly open an assessment to investigate you. And then when that happens, they get all the tools in the toolbox to provoke you into something where they can say that you are a domestic terrorist.
NBC actually labeled people Christian terrorist if they believe the founding was a divine event and that your rights come from God and not the government. Well, almost every American I know, and I know, you know, I know a lot of people that don't believe that, but a lot of people I know believe that very thing. How does that make them dangerous as opposed to just an American?
It doesn't, but the categorization doesn't matter. The FBI has the latest evolution of domestic terrorism, and that is the AGAVE, the anti-government, anti-authority violent extremists. And if you read the assessment that the FBI and DHS have put out, it describes an AGAVE. The profile of an AGAVE is someone who has just the mere perception of government overreach or negligence or illegitimacy. I would think that there are 56 men who signed a document called the Declaration of Independence who would fit the bill and would therefore find themselves in the crosshairs of an FBI domestic terrorist investigation.
Steve, I mean, I've been watching this for a very long time, and it is frightening on how fast it is coming now and how blatant it is, how they say these things out in the open. We have had, since they started targeting people, My Facebook page is down 95% of traffic, 95%. At the same time, I'm up in all other metrics. Facebook, YouTube, all down. Everything else, I'm having one of the best years of my career. I don't believe that that is by coincidence. I think that is part of the stifling. But what concerns me more is the fact that Tucker Carlson has been spied upon. I believe we are being spied upon and eavesdropped on. What does the public need to know about how deep this goes?
The collusion between big tech and the federal government is symbiotic to an extent that people cannot possibly fathom. It's probably pretty providential, the fact that your Facebook traffic has gone down, because there's something called Operation Bronze Griffin, which is a confidential human source who works for Facebook and Meta and provides people's private communications to the FBI without a warrant, without a subpoena, without their consent. There's a backdoor that's been created to do that, and it's frequently out-of-context statements, but once the FBI has them and they're able to open up their intelligence assessment, and then they're off and running. They have their man, and they can just find a crime, and if they can't find a crime, they will provoke one.
You still hopeful that this is going to be exposed and out in the open? And that people will
I wouldn't
matter.
Be doing what I'm doing every day, Glenn. This has been the cause. I'm a believer in the Book of Esther, born for such a time as this. I believe that doing the right thing at the right time, in the right way, and for the right reasons is why I'm here. And I will continue to fight as long as God gives me the breath to take.
Suspendable. God bless you, Steve Friend. Thank you.
God bless.
Back in just a minute. First, let me tell you about Jay's case. Right now, the stage is set for massive shortages of really important goods and services. If you don't think that you will ever fall into the clutches, wait until you need medicine and there is no medicine and your kids are sick. When emergency a situation arrives, somebody in your family needs medication that the pharmacy simply doesn't have, what do you do? Most will wait around and panic. But in emergency situations, it's entirely possible that you and your family could find yourself needing medication and having it. This is why the Jace case is here. It's a personalized emergency kit that contains five essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. Jace is also continually working to expand their medication offering. So if you have, you know, heart problems, or you have diabetes or whatever, you can get a year's worth supply of that medication for your loved ones or yourself or your family and have it in your own home. You should be empowered to care for yourself. You should be empowered to take care of your children. Get yours today. Go to jasemedical.com. Enter the promo code Beck at checkout for a discount on your order. That's jasemedical.com. So why is Steve Baker in court today and under arrest today? Well, because he exposed things like this.
Over the past few weeks, Americans have been finally seeing and learning about what was happening at the Democratic National Committee headquarters on January 6, 2021, and the circumstances surrounding the discovery of a pipe bomb at the DNC while then Vice President-elect Kamala Harris was inside that building.
So
never before seen videos.
Here is the problem. He was exposing, that was his, I believe, his latest. He's exposed people who perjured themselves in court to convict others to 20 years in prison. This one was about why did nobody say anything about the pipe bombs that were there? Why didn't they go off? Why were they both found at different places at almost the same time by either government employees not searching for the pipe bomb? How did the bomb-sniffing dogs miss them? Why did the FBI, when they were told by a Capitol policeman, hey, I just found a bomb, sit in their car for like 10 minutes and then allow children to walk right next to the bomb when they knew it was a bomb and our vice president was in the building just a few feet away? Some kind of important questions, don't you think? I mean, if you're looking for the truth. I've done this for a very long time. I started radio in, I don't know, 1978. And I've seen a lot. I remember the Nixon years. Your president's not a crook. Well, he was a crook. And it was only because of brave journalists that risked their lives to tell the truth. It's the only reason why we know that. At first, they came for the parents who said that CRT and a sexual agenda was bad for their children. But I wasn't one of those. I listened to the media. I knew what the truth was, so I didn't stand up for them. Then they went after the former president. Charged him with like 70 or 80 crimes, but he was the president. He was the orange man. I didn't really like him. I didn't vote for him, so I didn't stand up. I didn't like him. Then they came for Rudy Giuliani and his lawyers, and, you know, they're lawyers, so they could get out of it, and I didn't stand up for them. Then they came for the journalists, but I didn't like what the journalists were reporting, so I didn't stand up for them. This is a very old poem, and you know exactly how it ends. Don't wait. Pick a side. Lord, please bring us peace and comfort and protect those who are fighting for your rights. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for Steve Baker and all those who are on the front lines of the truth.